We show that video today because next Sunday we're going to have water baptism. 2 weeks, I'm sorry. 28. I've got something else I got to tell you about next week, so ahead of myself. On the 28th, we're going to have water baptism immediately after the service, and some have asked me, well, I thought our baptistry broke. Well, we'll have a new baptistry by then, so you'll get to see that. But that's on the 28th. So if you're an adult and you want to follow your decision with Christ, you've never been water baptized, please see me or Rachel or Tiffany or Colin. If you're a teenager that wants, and you're a parent, maybe your teenager's not here and they want to be water baptized, have them talk to Alex and Kaylee, who are sitting right over here, and they can talk to them. And if it's any of your children that you desire for them to, and they've talked to you about it, please see Pastor Matt in the children's area concerning that, and we're going to do that in 2 weeks. I know that we've got two people over here that are going to be water baptized on the 28th over here in our new baptism, so we encourage you to follow your decision with Christ if you've never been water baptized before on the 28th. And the next Sunday, I'm going to ask everybody to do everything you can to be here next Sunday. We're going to have Councilwoman Julie Short with us, and we're going to be praying over her as she will be representing all of the cities, which are seven in our church. They'll be represented, and we're going to be praying over our cities. We're going to be praying over her as a representative of the cities. There's a lot going on, church, and we have a responsibility to pray. So before I speak next Sunday, she's going to come down front. We're going to pray over her. And we're going to pray over our cities. And so I'm going to encourage you to make a point to be here next Sunday. If you're watching online, you couldn't be here today. There's a whole lot of NECers out this Sunday. It happens from time to time through the year where everybody checks out at the same time. I promise you there wasn't an email sent out, you know, everybody planning that. It just happens. But I'm going to encourage everyone, if you're watching me online, be sure and be here next Sunday. It's important that we're here and we pray together. Amen? And that's what the church is supposed to do. If you didn't hear Daniel's message last Sunday, if you are not aware, Daniel and his family will be moving to the Philippines this summer. So this was the only opportunity he really had to speak as they're getting prepared to go out of the country for the next 4 years. I'm going to encourage you to go listen to that message. As he covered three things, but the one thing that you need to home in on is the part where he talked about the deconstruction of the gospel, the deconstruction of Christianity and calling it Christianity. He laid that wide open. He did a great job of explaining what is going on in the church. And as we had one parent came to Daniel and had all their kids with him, said, "Thank you. I'm glad they all heard this." And so everybody needs to hear it. I'm going to encourage you, if you didn't hear the message, go listen to it. It'll be worth every moment you spend to listen to his entire sermon about what he talked about, and especially about the deconstruction of Christianity. This morning, we're going to continue to practice. One of the things that I've been speaking about is hearing the word, listening, and not being distracted, but hear the word of God. And so I'm going to be reading this morning as I open my new two-part series. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to be reading from verse 27. "For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." Jesus is making a point that the normal standard practice was that you give all honor to the person at the head of the table. And Jesus has said, "I am the head of the table, but I have come to serve." So the greater is not who's sitting at the head of the table, it's the one who serves. That is the greater. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name today, and we thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak what needs to be spoken today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't point directly to it in part two and part three of my Easter series, but what I was pointing to without saying it was one of the three R's that is at the very heart of NEC. It is at the heart of why we exist, the three R's. The three R's were planted in me by the Holy Spirit through Rochelle's grandfather, Mr. Clyde Lewis. It is at the heart of everything that we are here at NEC is those three R's. And I was pointing silently to the very first one, but I was exposing it for real in part two and part three, and that is our first R is to restore fallen people. Jesus had a fallen man beside him, and all Jesus could think about was, yes, I'm gonna, in all of my agony and torture that I've been through, I'm going to speak to you, and you're not going to be fallen anymore. You're going to be restored. We need to restore people. Today, I am going to not just point to it, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to go to the third R today, and we're going to talk about refocus. The third R with NEC at the heart of who we are is to refocus the church on its true mission. And guess what the true mission is of the church? It's all about people, not me. It's all about people. The church needs to be about people. Now, let's go back in time. It's 100 AD. And you're one of the fortunate ones that owns a chariot. You got things to do and places to be. And so you jump on your chariot. And you take off down a Roman road. And then you come to a crossroads. And you notice this great big sign in front of you that has instructions on it. Now, that was commonplace during that time on Roman roads. There were signs with instructions on them. It's just a part of the culture. Now, in American highways, it's just a part of our culture is what? Signs. We have signs everywhere, don't we? Well, Rochelle and I have come to the absolute belief that the signs mean absolutely nothing because nobody follows the instructions of the signs. There's a fairly new sign that's out. Some of you will say, well, I've never seen it. Well, that's because you ain't paying attention. So this is that moment where you're going to start paying attention when you come up to the red light and you want to turn right on red. Anybody notice the new sign? It's a great big sign. It says you must yield to the U-turn. Rochelle and I are together all the time. Just about all the time. We go from place to place. We're always on the move. There's lots to do every day for us. And we're on the road a lot. And so going from place to place to place, and it just happened again Saturday. You know, it happened right in front of us. I don't know how many almost accidents that we have seen just in the last month. I'm serious. We have seen the entire freeway shut down because somebody did not yield to the U-turn. That's what it's telling you. You've got to yield to the U-turn. But here's what the fun part is that both parties are yelling at each other with their horns. I mean, they lay into them, man. And then everybody else joins in because they're mad too. Here's what the funny part is. The first person to lay into their horn is the person who didn't follow the law. Because we're close. We can hear it. Boom, their horn comes on. Then the person over there's horn comes on. Then everybody else's horns are coming on. And, you know. The sign's there, but nobody's obeying the sign. What about yield to the right of way? Don't raise your hand if you're guilty. What about yielding to the right of way? Here's what we have watched. The person who's supposed to be yielding to the right of way has decided this is an NHRA drag race to the yield sign. We're going to race to the end and we're going to see who's going to yield. I'm going to make you yield. We live down from where they're having wrecks all the time because people are not yielding to the oncoming traffic. It's happening almost every day. I'm thinking, well, y'all just ought to put a policeman down there and he'll decide when you're going to go, you know. Yielding to the sign. Now, yielding the right of way by law is that you and I are supposed to prioritize another person in their vehicle that they go first. That's what we're supposed to do. Right? Come on. Right? But that ain't happening. Because people think that where they're going and what they have to do and what they need to be doing is more important and outweighs the law of the land. So they don't do it. Well, you got to know, when I've meditated on something like that, I penned a truth. So here's my penned truth. Penned truth. God is calling us, the church, to a life of giving priority to others, which is humbling ourselves and serving others. The question up front today is, are we yielding to others or are we drag racing to get past others? Are we yielding to the person who's in the U-turn of their life and might be struggling, or are we too busy trying to get up and on the road and we don't care about the fact that I'm supposed to yield to them because I'm a Christian and I need to put them before myself, but I'm going to go do what I need to do first? Now, in the law of the land, yielding to the right-of-way, yielding to the U-turn is for what? Our safety. Correct. It's for our safety. Now, in God's economy, yielding, making another person your priority, equals blessings. You will yield blessings when you yield to others and make them a priority above yourself. You'll reap a blessing. You'll reap a blessing. And we're going to take a look at what that blessing looks like, how you walk into that blessing. I'm going to cover some things today. There's going to be questions that the Holy Spirit's going to ask you today. And I hope you're listening. I'm also going to be asking questions today. That's why the title of my message is, you know, should I yield or should I stop? Should I yield? Absolutely. The church needs to learn to yield and make other people a priority. Church has got to learn that on a better level. Thomas Brooks, I love what he said. He said, the best way to do ourselves good is to be doing good to others. Let's say that again. Here's what he said. The best way to do ourselves good is to be doing good to others. You know, we know with the disciples, and I brought this up a lot, you know, the disciples, how many times I thought Jesus was just like, God, is this who you sent me? You know, because they were always trying to fight over who was going to be first, right? Who's the greatest among us? Peter was one of the worst. And then Peter, later in life, he pens some words that we all need to hear and listen very carefully to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he says, clothe yourselves, all of you. Pause. Clothe yourselves, all of you. Who's he talking to? He was talking to the church. He said, all of you clothe yourselves. He didn't say all you leaders. He didn't say all you pastors. Didn't say all you musicians because you're up in front of people. He said, all of you need to be clothed. All of you. He's not speaking to some weird group out there that we don't know anything about. He's talking to the church. In this scripture, the Bible tells us that all of the Word of God is profitable to us. It's all true. That's what Daniel was talking about, the deconstruction of the gospel, trying to say certain things are not true anymore. This is true. So we need to be listening. We need to be doing it. Peter said, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility, what? Toward one another. Humility. Clothe yourselves in humility. I see everybody super excited about that statement. Clothe yourself in humility. Humility. Clothe yourself in it. Clothe yourself in humility. Man, you need to meditate on that for a while. Getting up every morning and clothing yourself in humility. Toward one another. For God opposes the proud. Here comes the promise. God opposes the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. Now I'm going to drill down into this. It's been a long time since I've given a heavy portion of definitions. But you're going to get some this morning because I want to drill down to a point. Clothe ourselves in what? Humility towards one another. God opposes the proud. God gives grace to the who? humble. God gives grace to the humble. Dictionary Bible Theme says grace is unmerited favor of God. Unmerited. Favor of God. Grace. What did he say? Gives grace to the humble. What God is saying is, I oppose the proud, but I give favor to the humble. I give favor. So how am I going to get this favor? I got to do what it says. I've got to clothe myself in what? Humility. Now, here's another point I want to drill down in. We are all wanting God to give us favor. How often have you asked God for favor? We ask a lot. I'm not saying that when you ask, he won't just, in those seasons that he just drops favor on you. But let me tell you something. Why not walk in a life of favor? Come on. He said he'll give grace to the humble. I'll give favor to the humble. How would you like to have humble as a part of your life? Because it equals I'm going to have favor all the time. Let's think about that. If I walk humbly before others, then God's going to put what into my life? What's he going to bestow to me? What is he going to give me? He's going to give me favor. My question is to myself many times, I'm asking for favor. I want God to give me favor, but have I humbled myself towards others? Because if I have, favor's coming. Anybody getting this? Favor's coming. Why not just walk in a life of humility and have favor with you all the time? Do you know that's something God wants? He wants us to walk in favor, but it takes humility. He wants to drop this in our lives, but we got to humble ourselves. We can't just always be about ourselves. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got this and I've got that. We all do. I really need people to do that for me. Then we miss the other point is there's the law of sowing and reaping, and if I'm sowing, I'm going to reap. And if I'm walking in humility and sowing humility, then I'm going to reap what? Favor. I'm going to reap favor. God will do and take care of me. Dictionary Bible Themes again, the word favor. Looking kindly. Pause. Looking kindly. We just read past that definition. Looking kindly, and we go and read the rest of the definition. Looking kindly is, what is your countenance on your face? Are you looking at somebody like, I guess I'll have to do this for them. I'm going to have to show some kindness. I may be standing up doing this, but I'm sitting down in protest. And it shows on your face. You can kind of smile, but I can see it. Is that you ain't happy about this at all? Rochelle used to tell me, I said, I don't understand. I did that. I wanted to do that for him. She said, if you looked at your face, I wouldn't have believed you wanted to do that. What is your attitude? What is the countenance on your face? Looking kindly. Don't just read past that. Looking kindly. We need to be in the right attitude, correct? We got to be in the attitude of, I am looking forward to doing this. Because I'm a Christian. You know, and I'm going to talk about some other stuff. You say, but Corey, there's other points. Well, wait till I get some other stuff. Because we can come up with all kinds of excuses not to be kind. Not to be kind, but we're called to be kind. Kindness. Looking kindly. Let's look at the rest of it. Looking kindly upon someone. Or treating someone with special regard. The word regard here is two other words. We can read it this way. Upon someone or treating someone with special affection and honor. Now, that costs you something to show true affection and honor someone. But they're not honorable. Honor someone. They're not honorable. Honor someone. Find something. Wow, your tennis shoes are always clean. I don't care. Find something. Be humble. Don't always be in protest against people. Whoa, that was free, okay? Just don't be in protest all the time against people. Look kindly upon someone or treating someone with special regard, affection, and honor. We're called to do that. I love what the Oxford languages say about favor. An act of kindness, now get this, an act of kindness beyond what is due. or usual. Don't even have to read the rest of the definition. What is due or usual? Here, this is a common statement that's made. I've made it. We all probably have at some point. We say, well, you know what? We need to do something good for them because they're due. A kind act. They're due because of what they did. And so we put a price on it, even though it may not be money or whatever we're doing. We say, okay, because of what they did, this is what we're going to do. We're going to show kindness and affection and honor to this degree. That's not what favor is. You know what favor is? It's going beyond the norm. Here's what it is. Nope, I'm going to do this, not this. Anybody with me? It's like generosity. This is what I'm going to do because that's what I think it's worth, and that's what's due there. Why do not be generous and let's go beyond? Isn't that what you want from God? Come on. When you want favor, you want it to go beyond even your own desires. You want more. Why aren't we giving more? Walking in humility, and God bestows favor. Favor is kindness beyond what is due or usual. We go beyond kindness. I know that sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes it's all you can do just to do what you think they're due. But if you want to walk in the full blessings, unusual blessings of God, you got to go beyond. So I talk about generosity and what they were reading this week about giving to the church. You know, there's the tithe and there's the generosity. Are we showing kindness to the house of God where we're being fed? What level of kindness are we showing? It's just another principle. I could walk that off into your workplace too. You're getting a paycheck. What's the level of kindness that you're showing to the people who are paying you? You say, well, I'm working hard for them. Great. But isn't there any way you can show some kindness and some generosity back to the fact that they employ you? I know. I'm stepping on stuff, but we got to think about these things. Favor. Oxford Languages, again, an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual, approval and support. Now, the Christian Bible references, this is one of my favorite definitions of humility. Humility or humbleness is a quality of being courteously respectful of who? Others. Rather than me first, humility says, no, you first. Not me first, you first. Not me first, you first. In my world, I had to stand in front of a mirror and say that at least 100 times. Not me first, you first. What did Jesus do in his life? What did he model for us? Come on. Not me, you. Not me first, you. You first, not me. I understand we have needs. We would love for people to do stuff for us. I'm trying to give you a biblical principle that unleashes favor in your life. Again, 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Walking in humility releases favor. But our part in it is to not just go halfway. Our part in it, it's God's calling for us, the church, is to go beyond in the behalf of others. We want favor, and we want favor, but why don't we show favor to others in the same extreme that God shows it to us? A good friend of mine who planted right after we did, and we had done ministry, Rochelle and I had done ministry with her life, did life with them for years. He passed away suddenly before Easter, and he was only 58. And his church is in Faith, Texas. But he used to say all the time, and I mean, I watched it in his life. He was a very humble man, very humble pastor. It was so, he would always go, when something would happen, he would just yell it, really. He'd go, "Fave!" And look at you. Or I'd tell him some testimony, and he'd over the phone, "Fave!" He would do that because he recognized the favor of God. And he expected the favor of God in his life all the time. And Rochelle and I could tell you, man, they did. But I'm going to tell you why. Because he clothed himself in what? Humility. He left such a legacy in his passing. Such a legacy. David Jeremiah said, every time we deny ourselves in order to serve someone else, we grow in Christ. Are we dictating by our lack of denying ourselves and not really caring about others that we don't want to grow in Christ either? Or do we just want from Christ? Or do we want to grow in Christ? Do you want to be like Jesus? I do. We can grow in Christ as we humble ourselves. We become more like Christ. And we grow as we show favor and go beyond the norm and be generous. We grow in Christ. Every Christian should desire to grow in Christ. Well, no, I only signed up for Christianity because I want God to do stuff for me. I'm not interested in the growing part. I'm just interested in the getting part. Every Christian should have a deep desire to grow and be more like Jesus. And the more we walk in humility and the more that we show the same favor God gives to us, to others, we're growing in Christ, becoming more like Him. Do we want to grow? Philippians 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, through factual motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. That wasn't a suggestion. That's how we're supposed to live. We read the Word of God like everything's a suggestion. No. It's God's word breathed. It is for us to receive and do. No, we're not going to deconstruct the gospel here to make it everything easier. I'm going to grow in Christ if I'll stand up and receive truth and let the truth change me. That's the best thing you could ever do. Pin truth. Remember, kingdom thinking is others first. That's upside down from the world's thinking. The world's thinking is this. You should never put others before yourself because that's not a normal act. You need to take care of yourself. Now you tell me that's not what's being promoted. That's exactly what's being promoted. That's not normal life. Here's a problem with the way the world thinks, or if we let our flesh get in control. We let self get in the way. And I know this for a fact. I'm going to say it just the way I've seen it happen in our lives. You will cut yourself off from mind-blowing blessings if you don't learn to deny yourself and humble yourself and put others first. You miss out on some amazing blessings. You may feel blessed. Who would like a mind-blowing blessing? I would. Come on, I'm still waiting for that bigger mind blow. I mean the one where, you know, I pass out from excitement. I'm looking for one of those. I am. I mean, people around me, oh my God, he died. And I'm going to go, no, I'm so happy. A mind-blowing blessing. I'm giving you the pathway to such things. John Hagee said, the measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves. Love that. One of our primary callings that Jesus modeled for us was to be servants, to be people who wash feet. Before Jesus goes to the cross, John 13:4. Well, Pastor, Easter comes once a year. Why do you keep bringing up all the Easter stuff? Because Easter should be every morning you wake up, it should be on your mind. It's not a once a year thing. John 13:4 says, he got up from the meal, removed his outer clothes, he removes his outer clothes. You must understand what happened in the moment that he removed it. We just read that and don't think about it. The moment he removed his outer clothes, he immediately took on the position of a slave. Because the slave didn't get to wear the stuff he was wearing. They just had the under part. They didn't have all that other stuff. And they're just slaves. The moment he took that off, he positioned himself as a slave. Now, I've said this before. If you want people to listen to you, you've got to position yourself so that people will listen to you. And one of the ways you can position yourself so people will listen to you is that you clothe yourself in humility and show favor to people. So he positions himself as a slave. Let's read again. He got up from the meal, removed his outer clothes, took a towel, tied it around himself. He poured water into the wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to dry them with the towel he had wrapped around himself. Jesus takes the position of a servant and washes all the disciples' feet and dries them. That's a servant's job. That was a slave's job. He takes the position of a slave. Jesus, the head of the table, takes the position of a what? A slave to serve others. Now, let's drop down to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Now, he's talking about, I'm at the head. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, this person you see at the head, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Here's the argument, some of the deconstruction of the scriptures. Oh, that's not for us. That was just applied to the disciples. Wrong. It is applied to the church of the living God in 2024. We are to be like Jesus. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I've asked some questions along the way. The Holy Spirit, I know, is talking to you. I would hope that he is, that you're listening. He's asking you questions. As I've said before, in my last message from Easter, when it comes to putting other people first, like Jesus did in his agony and pain, he focused on others. And Jesus released what? Compassion, love, mercy, and grace. That's why the Holy Spirit asked me regularly, Corey, are you focused on yourself or are you focused on others? It's a Jesus position. So I ask this question, are you compassionate? That's why we have to revisit the cross. Are you compassionate? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Well, let me read this from the Bible dictionary, Bible things. Compassion, characteristic of who? Jesus Christ. Who are we supposed to be like? Jesus Christ. Characteristic of Jesus Christ, usually shown in acts of kindness and consideration. Why do we exempt ourselves from these things if that's what Jesus did? When we exempt ourselves, we're deconstructing a truth so that I can live the way I want to live. I'm so glad Daniel brought all that up last week. Church needs to hear that message. Deconstructing the gospel. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sin nature, worldliness, selfishness, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit." You know what this is screaming is, get up off the couch and quit waiting for somebody to do something for you, and you go do something for someone else, because God wants to release favor in your life and bless you in ways you've never thought of. He's got a mind-blowing blessing for some of you in the room, and it's going to take stepping outside of where you've been and deciding to be clothed fully in humility and go sow some kindness. Not what's due, what's unusual. Because God wants to bless you. Galatians 5:13, verse 14, I'm going to read just verse 13. I'm going to read it from the NIV. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in what? Love." Love. I'm fixing to give my final statement for the day. "But I have given you truth of how to walk in the favor of God." I have given you truth today on how to see mind-blowing blessings begin to become your suddenlies. I've given you truth today on how to live each day in the favor of God. I've also shared with you today that favor is not what's due, but it's beyond what's due. I've heard people say, and I've probably been guilty myself, probably have. It's just been so long since I've done something like that, but I'm sure Rochelle probably said, "Oh yeah, yeah. I got it all written down when you did it." Is that all, God? Come on. Is that all? What did you say in that statement? I'm expecting beyond, correct? If we're expecting it, we should be doing it. Here's what I learned. I was like, "Is that all?" And I could hear the Holy Spirit say, "Yeah, because you don't do much. You're too busy with self." Oh, remember the principle in Scripture, the sowing and reaping? I've given you a pathway to favor today. My final words to all of us this morning is, submitting to one another is not the chain of bondage we tend to make it out to be. Instead, it is the triumph of one who has been set free. Set free from who? Self. A truly free person can put others above themselves. The church, Christians, it's not a building, should walk humbly before others, lowering ourselves so God is glorified, not us. The act of yielding and putting others before ourselves does not have to be much. You say, "But I don't have much." It doesn't take much. It's the obedience to do what? Walk in humility and do something. And do something. It's doing something for someone before ourselves that matters most. As 1 Peter 5:5 promises, it releases God's grace, His unmerited favor upon you. Now, I would probably be missing the boat if I thought there was just one or two people in here that want some favor. I think if we're all honest, we would like some favor in our lives, right? Would you stand? We all want it. We all want favor. And your standing is your statement before God. I won't favor, God. That's true. Matter of fact, you may have asked God for favor before you walked in the building this morning. But we've got to begin to walk in the principles and the truths of God's word. He can just bestow favor on you just because. We've all experienced that. I have. I had favor, and I was like, man, I didn't even ask for it, and God just gave me favor in that situation. But I desire not favor sprinkled out. I want favor all the time. That should be our desire, to walk in the favor of God all the time. You don't think that wouldn't be attractive to the world that's lost and dying and messed up to see you walk in the favor of God? Wow. I'd want to hang out with you, hoping some of it would get off on me. And then I find out, all I got to do is just kneel and receive Jesus. There's a lot of ways to witness, folks. And one of the ways we can start witnessing to our world is to be a church that walks in favor. But it's going to take being clothed in humility and preferring others before ourselves. It's real simple. It really is simple. We've made the gospel too hard. It's real simple. It's very simple. Father, as we stand before you today, I can't think there's not one person in this building that doesn't want the favor of God in their lives. We do. We all do. So, Father, I commit. Everyone else will have to commit on their own. But I commit, Lord, to being more connected to the truth that I must be clothed in humility. That it becomes a priority every day. At the break of dawn, or whenever I get up, if it's in the evenings, in the afternoons, whatever. That I visit the cross, Easter is every day. And that I clothe myself in humility. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that your favor and the truth of how to walk in it begin to penetrate every heart in this room and every person watching online. Even the person, God, who jumped off because it was just getting to be too much. It wasn't a seeker-friendly message. It wasn't, a motivational message. Father, that what they did here will begin to prick at their heart and begin to pull them to you to be who they need to be and to be a church that's alive, not a church that's broken. So, Holy Spirit, do your work. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.